Andrew walked in our room and stared at him and I'm like, we can go somewhere else. And it was funny because it reminded me of the whenever she would come in and be upset with somebody who was with me, she wasn't always, she knew that was
right.
Yeah, that's what she said. That's always called.
He's like, I don't know where you're at. That's true.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Awake?
Yes.
Mostly?
Yes.
All right, good. Terry, why don't you word a prayer for us as we get started?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Pray and Holy Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for a peaceful night's rest, and thank you for us being able to come here safely. Thank you for the teachers who have prepared lessons, Lord. We pray we listen and that we study and glean from your word, Lord, that we're able to become better Christians, better parents, Lord, and that we're able to lead our children home to you one day. Lord, we pray, thanking you for this congregation, for the leadership, and Lord, we also want to thank you for the parents here that have made an effort to be here this morning and bring the kids, and Father, we pray that we're able to encourage and uplift one another. Lord, we thank you most of all for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of any sins that stand between us and a home in heaven with you. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, so hopefully everybody had an opportunity when you left class on Wednesday to go back and look at the exercise on the What the World Needs Now about all those questions we talked about. How do your kids know that you love them? How do your kids know you love God? What daily actions between you and your children will help them to know God loves them? What actions can make your kids think you don't love them? What actions can make your kids think you don't love God? What inactions can cause children to think you don't love them or God? And then just other notes that you made too. So hopefully everybody had an opportunity to work on that some. Now we are going to lesson 6. And then next Sunday, David will go to lesson 5. Lesson 5 is before Snapchat and texting. Okay? So that's a real big deal today. Social media is something that has consumed the lives of a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people, there's one of those things on, I think, on the Apple phone now that basically gives you a report of how much time you've been on your phone on online now at the end of the week. It's very telling if you look and see if it gives you that report and you can see how much time you're spending every day on your phone. But today, we are going to talk about lesson 6. Over 200 channels available and nothing to watch. Bible study with your children. So the first thing I want to do is I want to ask you a question about how we invest our time. And, you know, a lot of this class has to do with time and how it's invested. The time that we spend in all the different activities that we have going on in our lives certainly has impact on our ability to be good Christians. It also has impact on our ability to be good parents. Everybody that had an opportunity to participate in putting together the children's Bible yesterday with Becky Laird at her house, raise your hand. Okay, so we had several people that did that. We still got some other folks that haven't had the opportunity to do that. She's going to try and schedule another date. And if you don't want to do it as part of the group, you don't want to just do it on your own, that's fine. I think we're going to try and go to the next one. But if you even haven't signed up at this point and you still want to do that, anybody that went through it, Michelle, I saw that you had a little feedback on it. What was your perspective on all that?
I just thought it was just as beneficial for me as it probably will be for them.
Yeah. So just in kind of drawing your attention to those verses as it relates to those different topics and issues. So it's been something that's been done before, and you know, Kim talked a little bit about using it and the value of what it meant to them. So if you did not participate yesterday and you've signed up, make sure and communicate with Becky. She's going to try and get another date on the calendar to be able to do that again. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about preparing yourself to be able to do a job. David, when you got out of high school and you decided that you wanted to pursue, at that point, did you know you wanted to be a lawyer? Okay, so in preparation for that, what all did you have to do to get into that position?
Had to make good enough grades to get into school.
You had to make good grades to be able to get into law school, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then you had to do that, right?
Right.
And how long did that take?
Well, it took me about a year and a half to learn I needed to make good grades.
All right.
And then,
full disclosure.
And then after that, you know, I used my time with. I got to the point where, I don't know if everybody's like this, but when I first started college, I was going to school full time. Of course, we all go to school full time, or high school, or whatever. But I had all this. I'm an adult, and I have all this free time. And I think, oh, I've got plenty of time to do that. And so I put everything off until I had no time to get it finished. And when I used my time the best is when I didn't have much of it. When I was working full time at Holly Carburetor from 3:30 to midnight. And so I used my time well during the day.
Yeah. So then how many years in law school?
Three.
3 years in law school. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you take an exam. Why do you take an exam?
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, so I can be admitted to the bar.
And why is that important?
Because I could have spent, but it's a great education. Law school is a great education.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it. I could not use that education to do what I wanted unless I passed the bar exam.
Because they required you to have that certificate hanging on the wall
right.
for you to be a practicing lawyer,
right.
correct?
Right.
There's other professions that are that way as well, right? John, yours is that way. Jace is that way. Matt's that way. There's lots of different things, too. There's also all kinds of training you can go through. You know, there's technical training that you can go through to specialize in a specific field of work that you want to be able to do. Whatever it is, when somebody unleashes you on a responsibility that you have for them, they want you to know that you know what you're doing. If somebody releases you on a piece of equipment to be able to run something or do something, and it's part of a production operation, I mean, it's important to know what your part is in the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish, right? So education, we understand the importance of education when it comes to executing a job and expectations that people have of us in being able to do a job, right? So David was talking about the investment of time. Anybody else relate to that from a time investment standpoint to be able to get to where you want to be? Can y'all relate to that? Yeah, I mean, so it's something that you've got. And why do you do that? You know, John, why did you pursue what you did?
It interests me, and it's a good field to work in.
It interests you, and it's a good field to work in. What about you?
I mean, at the time, I was good at math and science, and I thought that was just a logical step. I mean, it was something that I was good at.
Okay.
It interested me. It was something good.
He's a nerd.
Okay, I'll buy that. And I'm terrible at math and science. Those are not my things. And my things are creative, the other side of what's going on, if anything, up there. What about somebody else? Why do you do what you do? Why do you invest the time to be better? Why do you challenge yourself to try to do good? Why?
I think you challenge yourself because you're not content with where you are.
Not content with where you are? Yeah, I think it's right. I mean, for me, I'm always wanting to learn. Not just about what I do, but about all kinds of things. I mean, I learned how to weld for the first time in the last few years. Well, I had a class in high school, but really didn't do anything that amounted to anything, you know. And then I've just in the last few years learned how because Mr. Caldwell and I back there, we enjoy a great deal building some furniture. And welding, if you can weld, you can do anything. Right, Michael? You can. But I constantly want to challenge myself and learn new things and be able to do new things just because that's just kind of how I'm wired. That's just kind of who I am. So, the reason that I wanted to get into that was this lesson's titled 200 Channels and Nothing to Watch. But it's really focused on Bible study. So, how easy is it to roll into the house, pop the TV on, and just let it play, and then you just kind of mindlessly look at it? Is that easy to do? And you don't do anything. You just kind of, I'm tired, and that's why I'm going to sit down. And I'm saying these words because I have spoken before. Right? How easy is that to do? And don't accomplish anything. One of the cool things is, the way TV is available today is totally different than it was even 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you had a cable package or you had a satellite package, and you bought those things, and they were outrageous prices, and then the market identified other ways for us to be able to get content. And so people started looking for alternative ways to get content, not only from a cost standpoint, but also from a what do I want to actually look at compared to what's out there in the marketplace and what they're charging for it. So, now we've got more control over that than ever before. Some people just say, we don't even need TV. We don't even need TV. It's better for us to not have it. We'll stream a little content if we want to, and we've got this particular kind of thing that we've got as opposed to this big package and cable or satellite or whatever it might be. And it just keeps changing and changing and changing. But really, you know what? There's more content today than ever before. Because that's what television programming or online programming is all about, whether it's YouTube or Netflix or Hulu or ESPN or whatever. Disney's getting ready to come out with a package coming up here later in the fall. They're going to pull a bunch of that content back that they let other people have rights to for a period of time. And so on and so on and so forth. So that's always going to be out there. Content is always going to be out there to try and capture our attention. So you know what? What we've got to think about is, what about this content right here? Compared to the attention that we give all these other things, and David will get into that some when we get into this next class, but what kind of time do we spend on this content compared to videos, watching TV, getting involved in those kinds of things? You could say other things too that we've talked about in previous classes, but really what I'm trying to focus on today is just the fact that we've got to be committed to this. This is the foundation upon which we're trying to build our lives as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers. And it's also the foundation that we're trying to build for our children as well. And so, it was interesting. Maddie and I were talking the other day, and she was telling me about some of the questions that she got from her daughter. Scarlett's a big question asker. She's 4, right? So, you got to be ready for those questions, don't you? And it's like what we talked about at church, Scarlett's got lots of questions about. So mom and dad have to be ready to answer those questions. And they are very blessed to have an opportunity to be engaged in that conversation. So what we're going to talk about today and then on Wednesday night as well is this whole idea of how important Bible study is and how we make it important to our children. You know, when you think about a building and how a building is built to last, and you look at some of the oldest buildings for the engineering guys, why do those buildings still stand that are 200 years old, 300 years old?
I think craftsmanship was a lot better back then, to be honest. But they have a strong foundation, better materials.
Yeah, craftsmanship, material, design, the whole bit, right? I mean, it takes every bit of those things working together for something to withstand time. And, you know, that's part of what I want us to think about with regard to study, Bible study. The strong foundation that you are establishing for your children helps them endure the test of time. The challenges they're going to face in their lives, the problems that they're going to encounter, and trying to make sure that, you know, the design that God's Word has given us is executed. This is the best material that you can ever find. The quality of this material, to John's point, it doesn't get any better than this. This is the best material. This will give us the kind of foundation that we need to be able to withstand anything that happens in our lives. But we tend to be very reactionary in our lives today instead of being proactive. And this goes back to that whole idea of living intentional lives. If we're not working toward living intentional lives, if we're just reacting, and all we're doing is being just allowing ourselves to be exposed to what's out there as opposed to being proactive in the way that we live our lives, then guess what? Satan's really got us. He really does. Because we've got to be very intentional in the way we go about living our lives every day. If you look on that first page that I gave you in about paragraph 3, it talks about the glut of media. Research says that almost 5 billion videos are watched on YouTube every single day. 5 billion videos watched on YouTube every day. Now think about that for just a minute. Now, they might be 10 seconds, they might be 20 seconds, they might be 3 minutes, they might be whatever, but we're doing that, you know, and I would dare say that we're, you know, that's something that a lot of folks do. So this is YouTube, not to mention Facebook videos, apps to play content on our phones or tablets, our computers and TVs. We definitely have our heads buried in what's called the content of, you know, those videos. But are we investing in the right type of content for ourselves and our families? So the goal of this lesson is to, number one, no matter your current commitment, make your Bible study important. Number two, help your kids make Bible study more important to them. And number three, ultimately create an opportunity to create dialogue about the Bible study between all of you that will help lift your entire family in a place that's closer relationship with God and a better long-term relationship with Him through study. So what I'm saying is we're going to try and help you think about ways that you can proactively create an environment in your home where you're directing your kids to have a strong foundation for Bible study. Now, if your kids are too small right now, like some of them that we've got in the room right now, to be able to be a part of that, you know, mom and dad, you still need to be doing that because you need to start setting an environment so as they can respond more in a proactive and an active way, that's just something that's already in place. If your kids are already a little bit older, then you still need to be doing that because you can still have impact on them in the way they think about the importance of Bible study. So, the first question I ask at the bottom of page 1 is, what kind of example are you in Bible study? How do our children see us investing our time when we're at home? Do they see that we have a special place that we go to when we study? Do they ever see us study our Bibles or talk about the Bible? Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. We've got to increase in our study. We've got to be focused on how important the Bible is and it being a part of our lives, and how it guides and directs our lives every day. So I want you to go to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And I want to focus on that verse for just a few minutes. And it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately or rightly dividing or handling the word of truth." So what I want us to think about, and I want to get your feedback this morning as we look at each one of those areas. You know, when you look at the word diligent, be diligent, when it says for us to be diligent, what does that mean to you? Diligence what?
Intentional.
With purpose.
Intentional with purpose. Okay.
Driven.
Driven. Like that too. Those are all good. Intentional, purposeful, driven. Right there, I quoted a few different verses. I said Proverbs 16:3, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So be diligent, and we're talking about Bible study. And we're talking about how we take this one verse and we apply that to Bible study in our lives, with our families, with our kids, individually, and what we do there. It says, present yourself approved to God. What about that? How do you present yourself approved to God? Approved to God. Look at those scriptures that I've got there. See what you think. How do we make ourselves approved to God? We're standing before God every day. We're presenting ourselves to God every day. How do we make ourselves approved to God?
He says right here in this verse, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth.
Yeah.
We know what he's teaching us.
Yeah. So I want to say execution. How about that?
Yeah, we're learners.
Executing what we've learned and taking it and trying to apply it to our lives to the very best of our ability. That is approved to God. You know, look at yourself and how you're going about your day, and are you approved of God based on what you know his expectations are of us, or are you not approved of God? You know, that's the way that we need to think with regard to our Bible study, and if we are being intentional and purposeful and driven in what we are doing.
You think about like being approved for a loan.
Okay.
There are certain criteria that you have to meet, qualifications. They test you, not test you, but you're tested to see if you meet your qualifications.
Yeah. So again, that's a mindset in the way I look at it. Because every day I need to be, you know, I need to get up and strive. I really do believe what John was talking about, and I know I've had some conversations with Matt and others, that when you get up first thing in the morning, and the way you start that day has everything to do with how the entire day is going to go. Do y'all agree with that? Y'all agree with that? So if you don't get up intentional, purposeful, driven, you know, trying to be approved by God in the way that you're going to go about living your life that day, and you know, this right here is what helps make that happen, is getting off on the right foot, getting in your head before you get started on anything else, what's going to be important. So let's say, for example, by doing these things, you kind of set the stage for what's going to happen the rest of the day. And what people are going to see of you, what people are going to see in you, how you might be able to influence a situation in a positive way as opposed to a negative way. I know a lot of people in this room interact with folks all day long, where they've got their own individual businesses, where they've got business, where they interact with a lot of people. you've got the opportunity to influence people and for them to see in you something that might not be in them. Y'all agree with that? Right. And so if they know you're different, it creates an opportunity for you to be able to ask them, or them to even ask you maybe sometimes, hey man, what? I want some of what you got. I like what I see in your life. I want some of that. That's the opportunity to teach through our lives. Well, let's say we don't work outside the home. Let's say we got our own business or whatever, and we don't interact with people that way. What about, what are you going to impact there? Yeah, you still talk to people. Your spouse, your family, your kids. I mean, do they see how you are and what you are being and who you are? Absolutely. So, be diligent. Approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. How's a workman not ashamed?
Confident in their work.
How do you see that as it relates to Bible study?
What I just said.
Okay. That's all right.
I would say you work to understand what you're studying. You don't just read it.
Okay. Work to understand what you study, and then the implementation of that. Yeah, that's so important. And again, that goes back up to here. Implementation of what you have studied, what you've learned, what you're taking and applying to your life. You know, and what I put there was 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, when it talks about, and I listed part of that, but we don't always list the other part of that in 2 Timothy, where it goes through 2 Timothy 3 and then 14 through 17. And it says, "But as for you, continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given. How did they know it from childhood?
Their grandmother, Timothy.
Right. With Timothy. And so somebody's got to teach them. To know something from childhood, somebody's got to teach them. So moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, everybody's got an opportunity and a responsibility to have impact on these children. And we all ought to want to take ownership of that. To teach them from the beginning about what is right and what is wrong. What is, you know, implemented in their lives. How they understand what they're reading. How they're going to execute what they've learned. And they're very intentional in how they live their lives. If you're not intentional in how you live your life and your kids go out there in the world, what are they going to do? How are they going to make decisions? What's that?
What feels good.
Yeah, whatever feels good. Yeah, what else? How else are they going to make decisions?
Everybody else is doing.
What's everybody else doing? What's everybody else doing? And boy, I guess so. If I don't know any better, and whatever feels good and what everybody else is doing, that must be okay. Because nobody's told me any different. So I'm just going to go on and roll with it. Right? So, really working to be diligent in how our lives are lived and how we are, you know, applying the things that we have learned. Accurately handling or rightly dividing the word of truth. So what about that? That kind of ties in with what John was saying a few minutes ago. I put 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We should be able to do that for our kids too, right? Now that kind of goes back to the conversation I was talking about earlier with Maddie. You know, you want to be able to give her an explanation, don't you? You want her to be able to understand what she's got a question about, so she can take it and apply it to her life. And then she wants to see that, and she's looking. She's watching us, she's watching Andy, she's watching Manny, she's watching all of us to see if that's what she sees. So we all have to think about those things when we're trying to do as you say, right? So, you know, if Matt and Joanne are, you know, disciplining their boys, or they're teaching their boys about something specifically, those boys are trying to see it in them too. Right? Y'all ever see that? Y'all ever get any of that, any blowback from something that you say, and then you don't do a good job with getting it executed, and then it comes back on you? Can that happen? Can that happen? We've got to be committed to trying to execute in our lives the very best that we can what we've learned about. And again, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling or rightly dividing the word truth. And we take this word and we do the very best we can to apply it to our lives. And part of the way we're able to do that is study. How can you do something you don't know? How can you be an attorney if you don't know the law?
Yeah, I see a few of them.
Yeah, I bet you do. They skip that page. They skip that page, but they still got their license. Engineering's the same way. I mean, you know, it's so important with regard to how a road's built or a foundation set for a building or whatever it might be, or whatever job you do and whatever it is that you do. You know, medical procedures, when you're going through a checklist and you're saying, check this, check this, check that, there's a reason for doing things the way that you do them. So I go through all that to get to this point, and that is, what are our priorities with regard to daily Bible study? And that's a little bit of an assignment that I want you to have for yourself on Wednesday night, okay? Because I want you to be able to talk about this on Wednesday night. I gave you this sheet right here. Spending time, do you spend time on weekly Bible study, on monthly Bible study plans, on focusing on goals for the year? You know, anybody that's goal-oriented, and we've talked about this a little bit, you know, you think about that from a business standpoint, but why wouldn't you do the same thing for your family? Why wouldn't you have goals for your family as well? Is there anything wrong with that? Does that seem weird? Is there anything wrong with having goals for your family spiritually? Huh? I think everything's right about it, personally, but maybe you don't feel that way. So here's what I want you to do. With your spouse, I want you to sit down with this sheet, and I want you to write down ways that you waste time, and I want you to write down ways that you are investing time in your children in Bible study. And then here's another challenge that I want to give you. You're going to have to write this down because it's not on that sheet, okay? But here's something else that I want you to talk about before Wednesday night, because I want us to be able to talk about it in class. And this is a suggestion that I'm going to make. I want to challenge you to create for your study with your children. And if you don't have kids that are ready for this yet, I want you to do it as a husband and wife yourself, okay? I want you to have a topic of the week as it relates to the Bible that you're going to think about all week long. That it's going to be something that you're going to give some solid consideration to all week long, every day, as you get up in the morning and you start your day. Now, what might be a good place to find some things that you could do that with? What's a good scripture that might find several topics that you could find a topic of the week for, let's say, for the month of the rest of August and the month of September? What's that?
Fruits of the Spirit.
Fruits of the Spirit. Absolutely. So take one a week and list it and focus on that topic for the entire week. Talk about that topic every day. Meditate on how you're going to take that and try and apply it to your life better. You know, the other one I would think about would be 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 5 through 11. It's actually about 5 through 7, right? But it talks about many of the things that should be a part of who we are and how that gets executed every day. And just think about it. I mean, we all get frustrated during the course of the day for different reasons, whether you're taking care of kids or whether you're in a job or whatever you're doing. But, you know, 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7 says, you know, diligence, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Wow, that's a mouthful. That's a bunch of stuff. Pick one. And so here's what I'd like to challenge you to do before Wednesday night. Before Wednesday night, I'd like to challenge you to pick topics for the rest of this month and the month of September. And come back to class and be ready to discuss some of those ideas. Because if you take those and make that a part of what you're thinking about on a regular basis, it really helps a lot. Does anybody ever get a little bit down? Anybody ever get a little bit, woe is me? World's got the best of me? Feel a little bit, you know, I hate to say depressed, but maybe you do. Anybody ever do that? I guess it's just me. Nobody else has that problem. Thank you, Brian. Brian Whiteside raised his hand, but he was smiling. No, I think really, if we're honest with ourselves, we all get a little bit that way every once in a while. But how much better can we do if we've got something that we can focus on during the course of that day? David was talking about using the Bible app and getting into some of these devotional things that they've got. And they're fantastic. You can even pick somebody to share that with. You can get 3 or 4 people that are sharing it and you're all reading it. You can leave comments about what that meant to you. And you go through it every day. That's another thing that you could add to the topic of the week. And then you could get your kids thinking about stuff, age appropriate, of course, as they can. But if, again, I'm going to make this point, if your kids are not at a place where they're ready for that, it doesn't matter. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get the foundation in place so that as they are being exposed to that, as they get older, they're going to understand. They'll be right there with you. They'll be a part of that as well. David?
One other thing. You mentioned spend, waste, and invest.
Yes.
I think you told us last time. I think, because I had it written in my notes.
Okay.
That Nick Saban is the one that says people either spend, waste, or invest time.
Yes.
And we think about what he does and what he instructs those he coaches to do.
Yeah.
It creates a different level of excellence.
Yeah, which is evidence in the performance of that team.
Exactly.
You know, now there's other factors that are going on there too, but it kind of helps set the bar of his expectations.
Exactly.
For the whole program, from the boosters to the funding for the program to the people that they recruit and everything down the line.
I mean, if that same statement came from Jim Holton, it's still a great statement. But I mean, we see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got to be intent. We've got to be intentional. We've got to decide that things are going to be the way that we are going to direct them through God's word and the guidance and leadership that He has given us. Okay, I want to look at some more scriptures. We've got about 5 minutes, and I'm on page 3, the top of page 3, where I was talking about priorities and talking about doing this. You know, the other thing that you can do, and just a few more ideas on this right here, you could put postcards on the refrigerator. You could have a whiteboard that you could write on to have topic of the week, you know, Bible topic of the week or character topic of the week or however you want to frame it. And then have that where it's out there where everybody can see it. Put it on the you know, mirror of the bathroom, whatever you need to do to keep it in front of you. Make yourself your own little thing where you can stick it on your phone. You can refer to it on a regular basis during the course of the day, during the course of the week. But we've got to be committed to it. We've got to be intentional. We've got to be diligent. We've got to make it important for it to be important to our children. Okay, Romans. Let's look at Romans. What does Romans 6, 15 through 18 say? Somebody read that if we get to it. Romans 6, 15 through 18. Somebody read it for us.
What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness.
So how, what do you think my point is in, as that relates to Bible study? Anybody can answer that. It doesn't have to be Dave.
Crowd out the bad things with good things out of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to decide what you're going to serve.
You're a slave to something.
You are a slave to something. You are absolutely, you're either a slave to the world or you're a slave to the Lord. You know? We are a chosen slave. A bond servant is a slave that chooses to be a slave. And so interesting, all the apostles, when they write, a lot of them, they call themselves bondservants to Christ. It's because it's what's important to them and what they're committed to. We've got to make the decision if that's going to be what we're going to do. Okay, James, 4th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Somebody read that. James 4, 1 through 10.
What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Do you not have because you do not ask? You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you.
We got to choose what is important to us. And we got to keep it on our heart, and we've got to make a commitment to it every day. Is every day going to be perfect? Are you going to be perfect every day, Gary? No. Are you going to have problems? Going to have hiccups? Going to do better some days than you do other days? Brian, is that the way it is for you? I think it's that way for everybody. I think it's that way for every one of us. But what we've got to do is we've got to be committed to what is important, and we've got to draw near to God. And if we do that, he's going to draw near to us. If we don't, there's no way we're going to have the kind of relationship that we want to have with him and he wants us to have with him. The last one is Philippians 2, 12 through 16. And y'all can look at the rest of those, and then we're going to get into the rest of it and this assignment on Wednesday night. So, Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Anybody got that?
So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ
I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain.
Yeah, the day of the Lord's going to come one of these days. We don't know when that's going to be. You know, for me, I need to be committed to doing the very best I can